Hello everyone, I am Mirta Hurtado Rivas. No VIPs or rock stars, just simple people sharing their life stories to trigger discussions around important topics, or simply to inspire us to embrace challenges ourselves. Welcome to Leaderching. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Leaderching. My guest today is Dr. Fernando Dos Santos, lawyer by profession, and you may have known him in his former roles as director of the IP's office of Mozambique, but also as the former director of Aripo. Hi, Fernando, how are you?
Hi, Mita. I'm okay, and you?
I'm very good. Thanks for being my guest today. I'm very excited about this because this is the first time that my podcast goes actually to the African continent. So I'm very eager to hear from someone located in that region.
Oh, I'm privileged to have been the first one. Thank you for that, for giving me priority in your wonderful program.
Thank you so much. The pleasure is all mine. So I suggest that we go directly to the first question, Fernando. I would like to know from you, what did you dream of becoming as a child?
This is a very good question. I think as childs, we think of different things depending on the period where you are. I think my first dream was to be a pilot.
Wow.
And then, yeah. And I believe this is because, you know, I grew up not precisely in the urban areas. So planes, I could see them passing through in the skies. And my question was, how do they get there? And my dream was one day to be able to drive such a thing. But then as I grew up, I changed. Slowly, I thought of being a diplomat. And I connected to traveling, because I thought that the diplomats, they travel a lot, they know a lot of places, and so I was very much attracted by by knowing new people, new countries, different cultures and things like that. So that is what I thought. You introduced me as a lawyer, but interesting enough is that when I was young, I always thought that I would never do law, because for me, law was connected to a judge, and I always thought that the judge, they do a strange work, in which they take decisions about the lives of people, and I thought that was unfair. So I never thought to be a lawyer, but it ended up being my choice.
Thanks for sharing that, Fernando. Actually, the both things that you mentioned, you know, the pilot, but also your aspiration become a diplomat, they connote that you were a very curious child, right? That you were kind of interested in other places. Is this curiosity something that your family instilled in you, or where do you think that came?
Yes, I think the family certainly instilled me that, but also I grew up in a family of more girls than boys. Actually, I was the only boy. I came out from a big family of 10 children, but they were all girls, and I was alone. So I spent more time reading. So I would read a lot about many things out there. So that created me a lot of curiosity. Secondly, as I said, grew up in a very remote area, small area, where we kind of closed. Instead of this creating in me a kind of being very much introvert, that forced me to try to understand what happens out there. Are there places better than where I am? And that, you know, always, you know, drove me to see if one day I could be able to see places that are different from where I was.
Interesting. Very interesting. So you already kind of started to talk a little bit about the fact that you obviously went to law school then and became a lawyer, But how did the change come about between choosing to being a diplomat or being interested in diplomacy and then being a lawyer? And I must admit, Fernando, I myself did a little bit the same. So I wanted to become a diplomat first, and I actually also did some studies in that area and had planned this out for myself. But then I ended up in IP. So I'm curious to hear from you how this change of mind happened.
No, certainly. To be honest, at the end, midterm, especially in my last role as the Director General for Ripple, there was a lot of diplomacy in it. And actually, I had this the statute of a diplomat, of head of mission. So I ended up doing it, to be honest, because I've been a diplomat for 8 years, representing Ripple and negotiating a lot up and down. That also helped me in terms of uplifting the organization to become a global organization. So at the end, I did it. But when I finished my high school, there were a number of choices. I looked around, and of all the things that were there, one thing that interested me first was something like sociology. But then it was kind of too much abstract, although I was interested in studying people and understanding cultures and things like that, and I thought that would have been good. But then I ended up in law because I found that it was interesting. So, of course, I had matured already to understand what lawyers do, and law is not only about judges and lawyers, it's much more. So I got interested in really finding something that could shape the society, and I started my activity, my studies, looking more to how can we better organize the society, how can we have the society taking maximum advantages of the opportunities that are there. And I believe this is what later on maybe we'll talk about, that how do I move then from law to
Yes, thank you
intellectual
so
property.
much for that insight. It's interesting actually that you see you I think you are my had a dream during childhood or youth and then actually accomplished it, right? Maybe not directly, like not going directly into diplomatic service, but actually with the development of its career, you have actually then accomplished your dream, which is fantastic, right? It's like it's I think it gives a lot of I think it gives maybe our listeners also a perspective that it's not the first choice that you make that actually but that there is actually many turns during your career development that still can lead to some of the things that you thought were out of reach or were not happening immediately. So maybe,
Sure.
yes, please go ahead.
No, I think that, indeed. Sure. I think that indeed that's what happened, because in reality, maybe the way we were educated, things have changed today. Because as we know, today is not much about the titles of the courses or whatever. Students today come out from university. And then they go out there for an environment where the old professions are no longer there. So in reality, people create their own profession as they move along. In the past, we were all used to the fact that you would be a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a carpenter, or whatever. So things were very much segmented, and that's why we kind of moved that way. Today, things have changed a lot, and I think that indeed, what someone should focus on is not much about which profession, but exactly what would I like to do? What would be my contribution to the society? And then you will always find ways of
I
getting there.
like your statement a lot because I think I agree with the fact that things have changed a lot. But there is still a lot of, young people who believe that they have to have a clear vision of what they want. And I think I like the perspective that you show us that is thinking how we want to contribute to society. What is going to our role going to be, and what is it I like? Where are my strengths so that I can use them to contribute them? I think that's a much broader thinking in a much probably also personal individual way of looking at your career, your life, than just sticking to titles. So I think that's, yeah, I like that thinking a lot, and I think it could be inspirational for many. So now you mentioned, okay, so you went to law school, you made that decision for yourself. Let's talk about IP then. What happened? How did that come about?
Well, in the meantime, of course, a lot has happened in the sense that not only moved away from where I was born to the capital. I was born in the capital, but moved to the urban area. But also, I left the country because then I had an opportunity to go and study abroad in Italy, specifically. So I did law. I studied law in Mozambique the first 2 years, but then I moved to Italy where I finished my studies of law. Then an opportunity arose for me to go and do a postgraduate program on international trade law in Turin in Italy. During those studies, one of the modules was about intellectual property. Intellectual property by that time, I'm talking about this was precisely 20 years ago, was not a subject that was much known. So I had like a PhD in business law when I started, very quick thing. But then during that course of international trade law, I had an entire module where I did intellectual property law, and I was very much interested in the subject. And fortunately, precisely in that, when I finished the our postgraduate law, the World Intellectual Property Organization, in partnership with the University of Turin in Italy, they were launching a new master's program. Actually, it was a pioneer program, master's program on intellectual property. And I applied, and I was accepted in that program. So that was the first a master's program organized by WIPO in the year 2000, and I joined that program. And I really, from there, I never left intellectual property, and this is the profession
Excellent.
of my
Thank you
life.
so much for sharing that. Fernando, when I some of your positions, in particular the ones as being a director of a repo and IP office, so you have been, you have a lot of experience in the area of managing people, about leadership, as you mentioned, also about negotiating. I would like to hear from you, what you believe a good leader is, what type of characteristics the person have.
Well, leadership is a kind of evolving thing, and it's a process. I don't believe there's any accomplished leader in the world. You learn every day, and you learn precisely from those you want to teach. You learn from those with whom you interact. But I believe that, of course, you may have heard a lot about listening as one important characteristic. What is not said is
Yes.
precisely how do you listen, because to listen, it's not about hearing sounds. It's about understanding the message and be able to react in the best way possible, so that people can see in you an example, can see in you someone to follow, can see in you someone who can give them a direction that they will then follow and find themselves in the right path. So that's the problem. How to listen is no one is teaching us that. And my experience, especially working with at Aripo, I had was working with 13 different nationalities from Africa. Of course, in many situations, people think Africa
Yes.
is a country. Africa has 54 countries, thousands of cultures, so each of your colleague is a different culture. The way people look at things is completely different. So one of the things that you are forced to learn when you work with different people, and especially people from different cultures, is precisely to understand how do they understand themselves things, and what are the messages that they're sending when they are talking to you. One simple message for one person can be hurting to someone else, can be disrespectful respectful to someone else. So every time you need to adjust. So listening, yes, but also you need to adjust, looking at each one and the context. You need to look at all that. At the end, of course, we as leader, what you want is to achieve some results. But of course, sometimes to achieve results, you may have difficulties, you may have challenges. How best you can achieve results, and you don't want to achieve those results alone, or sometimes it's impossible to achieve results alone. So you need collaboration of people. You need to be able to draw that collaboration to your side, find ways of adjusting your thoughts in order for you to move together with the rest of your group. A good leader really has to make a lot of concessions. Sometimes we don't, it doesn't seem to be like that, because it's like a leader, he is the one who is dictating how where we're going. But of course, it's not like that. Many times, you are the first to give up in order for you to achieve results. So there's so much that must happen in this interaction. There's a lot of interaction. Every time you need to understand the, the hidden messages that are behind the behavior of people, the way they react, the way they implement what you are saying. It tells you slowly that you are or not in a good direction. Sometimes it's not easy also to see that you are not in a good direction. So every time you negotiate, there's a lot of negotiation with with people, and certainly creating forums for you to listen is the first step. But then you need to work on that, on those messages that will come
Yeah, I
out
think
during
you
the
have raised
listening
a really
process.
important point because we hear a lot about this listening capability, right, of managers and leaders. And as you mentioned, wisely, it's not about just hearing what people say, but it's really about understanding the perspective and then adapting your own way to actually create that interaction, which is based on trust, to move ahead than together, right? So I think it's that's quite relevant because sometimes we hear those just right, like saying a leader needs to be a good listener, he needs to be able to collaborate. And I think there is much more behind those keywords than what we may be thinking of. I would like to change a little bit the topic. You mentioned that you were brought up in a household with a lot of female. And one of the topics that I would like to cover today is to hear from you, how do you think that the gender equality topic is, being looked at in the countries that you live in or that you have lived in earlier? How do you think this, and I know that it's a generalization when I say Africa, because as you just mentioned, Africa is as diverse as any other country. There is no reason for thinking that there is a unified mindset. But what do you think are the most relevant kind of topics in this respect? And also maybe sharing a little bit with us how it was to actually be in a household surrounded by women.
Yeah, well, I think it's such a household. You learn a lot of things. You learn a lot about feelings. You learn a lot about the mentality that may be in the people that you are talking about gender. So we're talking about a female. How do you negotiate with them? Of course, they are very much more sensitive sometimes. They may also change mood. Sometimes you need to negotiate all those things every time. But one important thing is that they are very much caring, and that is something that it's a potential that must be really harnessed and capitalized, in life. The continent of Africa has changed a lot in terms of relationship with the female, and their role in the society. Of course, culturally, there were very clear segmentation on terms of roles, what the man can do and what the women can do. In my society, indeed, we had a man as the one who is the leader in the house. Some of the things couldn't be done by women, but only by men. But the society has changed a lot, and it changed in terms of context, geographical location. The rural areas are slow in those changes, but the urban areas, I may say that they are kind of, especially living in a capital, is a cosmopolitan society. So you can't talk much about those differences. But we still see them. We still see them, and we know that it's not a problem only of Africa. We hear about the difference in terms of salaries between man and woman at the same level. We hear a lot about the efforts of women who may sometimes go to work and come back and still have to do household, have household responsibilities. The relationship with kids, it may still be different. But a lot has happened, and especially I grew up in a period where we just got our independence, and there was so much of education about gender equality and giving more opportunities to women. So things have improved a lot in the society, and also the trust that is in women really has gone up, in the sense that we saw more and more women have a lot of responsibility in terms when they get financing, when they start a business. In many times they're much more effective and much more productive than men. And maybe that care that they have, the fear of losing everything and whatever, maybe it's much more accentuated on women, which makes them much more careful, much more precise in what they're doing, not losing, focus when they do something. So I believe that this is very important. The numbers have grown up. In my country has one of the parliaments that is very much representative of women and men, very well represented, although it's not yet at 50%, but it's very high. Then in government also, we see women really have occupied all kind of positions, including the Speaker of the Parliament, the ministers and whatever. So things have changed a lot. We've seen also, even in the professions that in the past were much more occupied by men, like engineering or pilots. Actually, we have pilots that are of women pilots. So it means that more and more the society is accepting and is realizing that there was a potential that was being lost in the past by this segregation of based on gender. In my family, we grew up in a situation where we were all going to school. My parents never distinguished between those who could go to school, or if it was a boy or a woman. So the opportunities were given. But of course, the society out there may be a bit more harsh to them, which sometimes can, block their development. But I believe that the opportunities, they are there. Myself, I have kids, and one is boy, a boy, another one is a girl. I see a lot of responsibility in the girl. She's moving very well at school. So I don't look at them as a boy or girl. I'm looking at them as my kids, and I wish the best for them,
Thanks
and
so much
I
for
create
sharing
all
that,
the
Fernando.
conditions for them.
I think we have seen at least now seeing more and more, actually, as you mentioned, female entrepreneurs, and in particular in many different countries of Africa. And I think that has kind of also it's gained visibility, right? Because sometimes change takes place, but change is a process, and we are not aware of those changes from the outside. But I would agree with you. Of female entrepreneurs coming from the continent, and I'm happy to hear that there is change going forward. And this is a situation that we see in many, many countries. So it's not surprising that we still have work to be done to get to a society where equity and equality exists. But thanks for sharing that. I would like to close our conversation by asking you if you could go back to speak into yourself, so to say, when you were in your early 20s, what type of recommendation Fernando from that time?
Oh, yeah, I think what really I would tell myself is maybe to enjoy life at its fullest. Sometimes we, at that age, so worried about the future that we don't realize that we are lucky to be where we are. And I say this, maybe it's not only for young people, but to all of us. 31st December 2019, who would ever have thought about COVID-19 and the dimension that and we maybe we were happy and we didn't know. Maybe we didn't know. So really, I think that for example, starting from the early 20s, it's the time where you are at the university. We could study more. We could look at that as we are the few who are lucky to do that. There are so many people in the world that can't even access water, cannot access electricity, can't education. Just the fact that we are at the university or we are where we are already is good enough in life, and we should focus on that and then exploit that at its maximum. I would say learning, learning, learning without stopping, and doing that by reading, by being curious, by trying to understand the world. Also, traveling is very, very important. I was also lucky to, in my early 20s, to be already in Europe by myself. So it helped me a lot in terms of traveling, being with other cultures, learning other cultures, and living with other people. It's so important. I'm really sad to see some of the situations that are going on in the world today, the wars. I always believe it's the worst thing that the human beings really are engaged in and completely useless, because all wars then finish in peace. Well, why are we fighting? Why don't we just understand each other? Religions cannot be bigger than our own lives, and respect for other cultures and people. We are different, and the world is beautiful precisely because it has diversity. So why don't we respect that diversity and be able to collaborate? When I was at the university, I had the privilege to really live with people coming and sleeping in the same room with people coming from different cultures. I've learned a lot from all that, and I believe that that shaped my personality, that shaped the way I relate with people. It will never be perfect. You still have to learn. You still have to continue learning. But probably if we could learn from the very beginning, for when we are young, to understand that people can be different, but being different doesn't mean to be negative. That doesn't mean to be inferior. Doesn't mean that you are, the situations are, that your views have to be irreconcilable. We just have to really understand each other and move on. The world is ours. We should take advantage of it and really promote peace, promote harmony between people. I think we would be building a better world in that way than really just looking at difference and even using
Well,
those differences to hurt
you
each
have
other.
kind of in 2 minutes summarized a lot of the things that probably our listeners have in their minds, and that particularly when I created LeaderChain together with my partners, we had in mind as well. It was a lot about how can we actually create a space for understanding that diversity doesn't need to be something that creates fear, but rather something that just triggers curiosity to understand others better. I fully agree with you that if we would be exposed probably, in our younger age to different things in a positive way, taking away the negative connotation of different, just being what it is, different, and that there is no judgment included in that, I think we'd probably end up having more openness and more empathy towards the others. So I think your suggestions about enjoying life, and I think probably all our listeners that are going through the second or third wave of COVID or that are about to face the second wave can certainly understand and relate to the fact that late 2019, none of us would have expected to go through the ordeal that the pandemic has represented. I think also the pandemic has honed our senses and thinking about what really is valuable, what we can contribute to make a valuable difference to society. So I think we need to also look at the silver linings. And last but not least, your suggestion about travel just connected to the thinking of diversity. Really, I really think it's a very good question. And traveling doesn't always mean that we have means to do that, right? That there is also good means to travel and to get to know places without the assumption that we already have to have had our careers made up and our lives set up. So, excellent. So, I would like to thank you once more, Fernando, for the time you have devoted to our conversation today. As usual, when we have met in the past, every time I speak to you, you're a true inspiration. So, thanks again for being so open and sharing your thoughts. And I look forward, hopefully, to see you in person soon again.
No, thank you very much, Mita, for this. And I believe that you are showing leadership really by coming out with such a forum. I hope that you may find ways really of disseminating this conversation to everyone, because I think we can learn a lot from the conversation with different people. So already you are giving your contribution. You would be sitting in your company comfortably doing your work. But I think open the opportunity, you are giving us a tool for all of us, to take advantage of the knowledge that is there and use it for the benefit of the people and society, because that ultimately is the objective that we all have. We need to give our contribution, leave legacy in this world. Next generation will take it up. We hope
Thank
to
you so
leave a better
much. Talk to
society
you
when
soon,
we
Fernando.
leave
Bye,
this world.
everyone.
Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Meta.
I hope you liked this episode of Leadaching in English. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up on your respective platform and subscribe to our podcast. See you soon!